What must we do to work the works of God? And what did Jesus say? Here's the work of God. Just believe on the one whom he sent. Mm-hmm. Believe in me. You know, so the Philippian jailer, what must I do? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's just that simple.
Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Oh yeah, the Growing in Grace podcast again. Here we go again. I'm the Cap, along with him, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B, B for Breeze Man, Joel Breezeke.
I'm the Breeze Man here on the Growing in Grace podcast. Yeah, we've done the radio thing before. This isn't how you and I talked when we were in radio, though. Even you were in radio back in the 80s, right? You started in the 80s?
Yeah, I did start in the 80s. And it was all Christian radio.
All Christian radio. So even back then, did you have like a radio voice? Or did you... Because I know like... When I knew you, and then toward the end of our time in radio, you know, things changed in radio, and it was more natural talk. But did you ever like have a radio voice, like try to talk like a radio person?
I think to answer your question,
okay,
I feel like I'm in front of a Senate subcommittee.
I feel
right
like a politician is about to explain something here.
That's why I would never make a good politician, because I would just answer the questions. I wouldn't know any better. No, I kind of had the voice for it. Now, sometimes there's an element of turning on the microphone and you might step it up a little differently than how you would talk to somebody in person.
Yeah.
But generally, that was something that people always kind of mentioned was, oh, that voice. Even before I did radio, I had even high school teachers telling me, oh, you should do radio, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd run into a teacher at the grocery store or something, and he had his wife with him. And I don't know why this just popped into my head, but he said, here, come here. He's calling his wife over. Just listen to his voice. Embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
You know, it's kind of like when old women would come up to me as a teenager and say, I wish I had your hair. I look like Bobby or Peter from the Brady Bunch back at that time, you know?
Yep. I had some of that stuff going on too. But yeah. So the radio thing, I've talked about this before. I was kind of the opposite. I might have a voice that maybe fit on radio, but I didn't have the personality for it. But God just, you know, brought me into it, and I think that was what was cool about this, and it all led to this podcast. I think that's what the awesome thing about it was, is that God used some very interesting means to bring you and I together, and to get this whole podcast going. And, you know, 21 plus years later, here we are. And what I like about it is that we, no matter how long we've been doing this, we still grow in things. You mentioned last week about how, you know, we're talking about this assurance that we have in Christ, and we still need to hear it. I still need to hear things, and it encourages me when I hear other people, you know, talking about the gospel and the assurance that we have. So I think it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this. Somebody asked on YouTube, I think it was, how do we get free from all the guilt? And I'm assuming they meant, you know, in Christianity, there's just a lot of guilt heaped upon people. and sometimes it's because a person knows that they've done a lot of bad things, and they're in Christ, and they're wondering how to stop feeling guilty. And it all comes down to there's not you can just snap a finger. God doesn't just snap his finger and we just get everything and understand everything, and that we're just there in an immediate place of assurance. Now, I think that can happen for people. There are aha moments. There are times when God, you know, when people may have some sort of experience where things begin to fall into place, and it's like, and rest, and you know, there can be those types of things. But then you have, really, you have the rest of your life and probably beyond where we'll be growing in so much of this stuff. And it's not that we get more grace. It's not that we get more righteousness, but we grow in our understanding of it and in who we already are, who God has made us to be, again, by his grace and by nothing that we've done. I talked toward the end of last week's podcast about the gift of righteousness. You know, we've received this as a gift. There's nothing that we can do to earn the righteousness that we have. And this righteousness is God's very own righteousness. I like what Paul says in Romans 1. You know, he's talking about the gospel. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's Romans 1:17. It's the righteousness of God. It's not my own righteousness. It's not your own righteousness. But it's something, and it says, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We don't live by our own works. We don't live by our own attempts at trying to please God. We don't live at any of the things that we can do. We live by faith. The righteous live by faith, and that means that we rest from our own works, our own attempts at trying to do anything for God. But in saying that, then people will say, well, you're just saying just never do anything. And we're not saying that. We're saying that in order to be right with God, in order to be righteous and to have all of these gifts from God, it's not by anything that we do. But doing good is always good. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Whether you do them or not, you are still righteous. But we're encouraged to do good works because it's profitable. It's expedient. It's good to do good.
Well, what you just mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's a translation out there in our country that is probably the most popular one, and it really takes a lot of opinionated liberties in different places in the New Testament. And I'm not saying that's true of, I'm not saying that's not true of other translations as well in English Bibles, but that translation seems to do a little bit more than others. And it says this, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And that's not, you can look in the original language on that, and we know that language isn't a perfect science, as I mentioned before, but it just isn't in there that way. Mm-hmm. We're in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What works is he talking about? Is he talking about us trying to, like you were talking about, do in order to climb the ladder, to try to get more righteous, to try to become more holy, more perfected, more sanctified, when all of these things have been gifted to us? And so, yes, our growth is in understanding what has already been given through Christ Jesus. That's where the growth takes place. It's not in trying to become more godly than what we've already become born as a child of God. We've inherited the things that we have in Christ. It's an inheritance gifted to us. And so, how does this work? I mean, how do we separate so much of what we've learned through the legalistic pipeline compared to the gospel of grace? I mean, stop and think about it. You know, when the disciples were with Jesus and before the cross, and what must we do to work the works of God? And what did Jesus say? Well, here's the work of God. Just believe on the one whom he sent. Mm-hmm. Believe in me. What about the Philippian jailer after supernaturally the prisoners, the apostles, were let out of the prison? Philippian jailer comes around and sees what's going on, and he thought he's going to kill himself, because if he doesn't do it, somebody's going to do it for him. And Paul says, no, wait a minute, don't do that. And the jailer says, well, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? Help me, you know? And what did Paul say? Well, first of all, you have to, you know, have to go to the altar, and you have to pray this prayer, and you have to get baptized, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and then eventually you'll have to do the other thing that we don't even want to talk about right now. That's kind of what church is like. Yeah, it's all free. You know, this thing is free. Jesus is free until we tell you he's not, until you finally get a look at the fine print in the contract. But, you know, so the Philippian jailer, what must I do? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's just that simple, you know? It just is. But how does this work for us going forward? Here, we talked a little bit about this last week. So to play off of that, we're in a new and better covenant than what the Jews had. That one came to an end. It was wiped out. It was abolished. It was annulled. It's obsolete. We have something new and better. It's not like the first one. Better covenant. And it's a covenant where faith is not perfected by works. Faith is perfected by Jesus. So we look to him. He's the author of faith. He's the originator. He's the perfecter of faith that was gifted to us. And so this thing called the fruit of the Spirit, people want to turn that into a to-do list, mm-hmm. or something that you try to get better at doing. The fruit of the Spirit is Christ in you. I can't emphasize that enough. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are branches on the vine. We're not the fruit producers. We bear his fruit that he produces. And so, again, he, God, begins the work in us, and he is faithful to complete it. And as far as dealing with guilt and condemnation, I mean, I get it. Man, we all have regrets. But coming into a greater knowledge and understanding of this gospel and what Christ accomplished through his finished work is going to help people so that they are relieved from that. And they can rest in what Jesus did. Because the ministry of condemnation really was the ministry of the stone tablets from Mount Sinai. It was the law. All six, not just the 10, but all 600 plus rules, commandments, regulations, and statutes. That's what brought the condemnation. And in this new and better covenant, sometimes we see the church world, the church universe, mixing that old recipe with something that's brand new, and they're incompatible with each other. They were never meant to connect or coalesce together. But that's what happens. We get caught up in this mixed covenant culture, which really started right after the cross and the ascension of Jesus, and it's been handed down for generations for many years. But we're caught up in that. We're surrounded by it, and so it's easy to fall back into some sort of guilt and condemnation, especially based on some Sunday sermon that you might have heard, and you walk out kind of discouraged, wondering where you stand with God. And it should not be that way.
No, that's for sure. There is so much of that going on, and that's not what, you know, Christ didn't die and was resurrected again to leave us with guilt, condemnation, and fear and anxiety about our performance or about anything else. I like something that you had brought up in there, what Paul said to the Philippians, Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, or I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That was the English Standard, or various versions say basically it's God who began a good work in you, and it is God who is completing that work. It's not we who began a good work for God, and we must be faithful to complete it. God began a good work in us. He is faithful to do that work, to carry it to completion. So we can rest in what God is doing, whether we see anything or not, whether we can figure out what's going on or not. There's been so many times in my life, you know, by now, that I can look back and see, oh, you know, that's what God was doing. And then there are still many unanswered things in my life. I do not know why I went through this or why I went through that. I just have the assurance that it's not about what I'm doing or what I can do for God, or my abundance of works or my lack of works. It's not about that. It's about God who is not seen. Now remember, you know, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, but not seen. We don't always see what's going on, but we can be confident that God is at work in us and he's faithful to do what he's doing. That's where our rest is. Our rest is not in what we see. Our rest is not in, can other people see good works in me? Can I see good things in me? Yes, we want to see good things. We want to do that. We're encouraged and we're exhorted to do good works. You know, Paul talks about, you know, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's 1 Corinthians 6:12. And then again, in a few chapters later in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Here's the thing. Let no one seek his own. He doesn't say, it's not a commandment. That's another thing that I had in mind when we were talking about this a little bit earlier. We're not commanded to live a certain way. It's not God's commandment to us. We don't live under commandments. You shall do this, you shall not do that. We're encouraged, we're exhorted. You know, in these days when we're living life with each other, it's good for us to not seek our own, but to seek what's good for others. In a general sense there, you know, it's good. We can make choices. It's not like God is looking down on us, commanding us to do certain things, and if we fail, then we're going to suffer his punishment or his wrath. It's nothing like that. There will be natural consequences to the things that we do, for good or for worse, for good or bad. There's natural consequences, but we have the freedom in Christ to make choices. And no matter what we do, no matter how this plays out in our lives, we're still right with God. We're still in his grace. We're still in his right standing with him because it is about his grace. It's not about the things that we do. It's not about our performance. And so live your life being able to be free in him. And, you know, ask him to help you, the Holy Spirit working in you. You know, ask him to show you what he's doing, if you want to. And just trust in his work in you and not your own performance.
Works can be an important part of our lives in Christ, but we want to try to avoid looking into a law that the Jews thought would bring them liberty and freedom and salvation. Because when we look in a mirror, have you ever looked in a mirror and you see things backwards? That's what can happen when you go back to looking at something like that. So it is works that are dead without faith, not the other way around. While works can become an important part of our lives, we boast in nothing of our own volition. It's God in us and Christ in us, the Spirit of God leading, guiding, and teaching us and relying upon him because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.